language that we speak is part German, part Latin, and part Greek. With some Celtic and Arabic and Scandinavian all in the heap. Well amended by the people in the street. Choctaw gave us the word okay. Vamoose is a word from Mexico way. And all of this is a hint, I suspect, of what comes next. I think that this whole world, soon mama, my whole wide world, soon mama, my whole world, soon gonna be get mixed up. Sausage, I like Spanish rice. Pizza pie is also nice. Corn and beans from the Indians here, washed down by some German beer. Marco Polo traveled by camel and pony, brought to Italy the first macaroni. And you and I, as well as we're able, put it all on the table. I think that this whole world, soon mama, my whole wide world, soon mama, my whole world,
mixed up. Soon, mama, my whole world. Soon, mama, be get mixed up. Hey, good morning. I'm Jim Thompson, and this is KBOO Radio Zine, and I have a couple of wonderful guests here this morning. And we're going to talk about something new in Portland, new as of last fall, which is the Multiracial Family Resource Center.
That's right.
And I'm here with Sarah Sheets. Who was the founder?
I'm the founder and the current director.
Okay. And?
Carla, and I do public relations for the center.
And she was also just elected to as secretary.
Yes, officially, as of yesterday.
Well, yeah. They're going to keep you busy then.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is that a full-time kind of job for you?
No, it's a volunteer position.
Okay.
Yeah, all of our positions are volunteer at this point. We're a new startup organization, so it's going to take us a while to get the funds that we need to actually hire somebody. But we would like to hire somebody as an executive director in the near future when we find $1 million someplace.
Okay. Well, $1 million. What would $1 million buy you in terms of multiracial family resources?
Well, actually, the $1 million would not be for buying things. We'd probably put it in a fund and keep it at about 3% interest, so that we could pay somebody $30,000 a year.
Well.
But what we
let's start off with exploring Multiracial Family Resource Center.
Yeah.
This might be a really silly question, but what do you mean a multiracial family?
Well, a multiracial family would be a family that has more than one race or one ethnic group represented within the family itself. And that could happen either through the relationship where there's more than one race in the couple that has come together, or it could be through international adoption or domestic adoption where you adopt across racial lines. And when I was in my 30s, my husband and I adopted a little girl from Korea when she was about 8.5 months old. And she's now 24, and I have a grandson who's half Mexican and half Korean now. So it's for families that are more than one.
Okay. And this results normally then from adoption?
It can be from adoption.
Or perhaps marriage?
And or through marriage, or through some people have domestic relationships that are not through marriage, but have some children that are more than one culture. So it's for all people who come together who are not the same race or same culture. There's an organization in Portland called the Oregon Council on Multiracial Affairs.
Okay.
That has done some work in the area of multiracial families. Their major activity is to do the loving decision, and the loving decision actually is a decision that was made in the Supreme Court in the late 60s that allowed people of different races to marry.
Now, wait a minute. Could clarify that loving means...
The loving decision, it was actually a couple with the last name of Loving.
Last name of Loving. Okay.
Yes.
Because the word loving might mean other things. So, you might make a decision on the basis of loving, but... okay.
No, there is actually a couple that was not permitted to be married in their home state because they were a... biracial couple, and the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and it was decided in their favor that they could get married, even though they were a biracial couple. So, those groups of people who are multiracial, or who have adopted other races than who they are as parents, are people that might be interested in what we're doing.
Well, I'm interested in hearing about the issues, aside from, well, legal issues, and this loving decision. And it occurs to me that the listeners right now will probably be divided into two broad groups.
Mm-hmm.
One group who really is unfamiliar with the issues and really has had no immediate exposure or contact with multiracial families, and another group who might be part of a multiracial family and who really doesn't and knows what the issues are and is looking for solutions.
Right.
So what are the problems?
Okay.
What are the problems? What kind of hurdles do you face or obstacles?
Well, when my daughter was growing up, of course, when children, before they go into grade school, the major interaction they have is going to be with family. And family generally is pretty accepting. My family was, anyway. Not all families are. But my family was pretty accepting. And what we found when my daughter went into grade school was that suddenly she was faced with white parents with a Korean child, and that was kind of odd for everybody else in school. And she was teased a little bit.
Teased by whom? By
the other kids.
By white kids?
Most of the kids were white, yeah. So she was teased by other kids, saying such things as, "You have a funny face." And it was not a malicious thing. It was just kids.
Kids, okay.
Yeah. And she really didn't have anything malicious happen until she was in junior high. But it would have been helpful for me to have had someone I could have gone to say, "How do I deal with this? Tell me what is a good way to manage this kind of situation."
So did you have any kind of support resources?
No.
No.
And I went to a community cultural organization for Korean kids, and we really didn't fit there because most of the family members were all Korean, and we weren't, and we just didn't fit. So the white kids were teasing her, and the Korean kids were teasing her, and...
Now, wait a minute. No, explain that one. The Korean kids were not accepting her?
No.
Why not?
Because she was culturally had a European culture, And a lot of the kids were already speaking Korean at home. And she was learning, but she was behind all the other kids, of course. And
learning Korean.
She was learning Korean. Okay. Yeah, she was learning the alphabet and learning to speak. But, you know, just generally we didn't fit because we were not a Korean family.
Okay.
Okay. And we didn't really fit with those families that were just one race families because we weren't. And there was no place for us to go.
When I met Sarah, it was working at the Global Portland Festival. And one of the first things that she kind of, as she was explaining what the center was to be about to me, was that there are all these cultural organizations for Korean families or Chinese or all these different ethnic groups, but there's no place for children or for families who are a mixture of different ethnic groups. So a lot of what we're trying to do with the center is to create a place for families who have a combination of all these different ethnicities to come together, and also to create an educational program, eventually is a long-term goal of ours, for K through 12 children, to help them embrace their birth culture as well as their adoptive culture, and to help them gain the skill sets they need to deal with the issues that come up being a multiracial, growing up as a multiracial child in a multiracial family. And we are actually having an event this Friday, Dance Around the World, which is going to be at Portland State University, which Sarah can tell a little more about, but that is the money that we make there is going to build our curriculum, to help us build our curriculum. We have a few educators working with us already, and we're looking to build a curriculum that we're going to launch next summer to start that K through 12 program, the cultural education program.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Education is going to be a strong basis for this program, so we can educate both parents and children. We are wanting to involve multiracial children and families also for two reasons. One is, like I said, I now have a biracial grandson. And many times in adoption, you will have grandchildren who are then multiracial. So we also want multiracial families because we would like to have good role models for our kids.
Okay, thank you. And for those just tuning in, just like to let everybody know that this is KBOO's Radio Zine, and we're talking about the Multiracial Family Resource Center, which is a fairly new organization here in Portland. And we're talking with Sarah and Carla, who are both heavily involved in this organization. And we're learning about what they do and what they're trying to accomplish, what their plans are, long-term plans, And they do have some very interesting near-term plans here coming up this Friday. There's a dance, and it's going to be at Portland State University, and they're going to have some performers from the Pacific Island Club. They're going to have tango and Afro-Brazilian battle dance,
mm-hmm.
and what else? This and Taninkling.
From the Philippines, yes.
Which is a wonderful. That's fun.
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at the program here.
It's going to be a really awesome program.
You don't have it memorized?
I don't have it memorized. Say Salseros from Say School, which is at Roosevelt School, will be there, and they will be doing Mexican dances. And Sajnas will be East Indian dancing. And Amor España is flamenco dancing. And we'll have some Vietnamese dancing from the Vietnamese Student Organization. Cai Bigan, which is Filipino Student Organization. The Pacific Islanders Club will be doing hula, Samoan dance, and Tahitian dance. Capoeira is the Afro-Brazilian battle dance. And the tango, the Capoeira, if you have not heard about it before, actually was transported to Brazil during the slave trade. And it was banned for a good period of time because the slave traders were worried that it would be used against them. But now it has become more popular and is celebrated as a cultural heritage dance.
Yeah, I understand that there are. Well, Hugo Chavez, I think, is recently came out making a point about his black curly hair and his pride in his African origins.
Right.
Which was an interesting
revelation
for me, actually.
Yeah. So, as we were saying a little bit earlier, well, just to make sure that you have the information about the dance program also, the cost for pre-sales is $7 for adults, $17 for families, and $3 for students. So, at the door cost is $3 more per ticket.
Oh, okay.
So, if you want to...
So $20 will get the whole family in.
That's right.
That's right. Less than $20.
Okay.
Well, if you pre-order.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you are interested in getting tickets in advance, you can go to our website, multiracialcenter.org.
It's multiracialfamilycenter.org.
That's correct.
We'll say that again. Multiracialfamilycenter.org.
Yes.
That's all one word.
That's all
correct.
One word.
Mm-hmm. And there are email links to email either Sarah or myself or anyone on our board, actually, and we can get tickets for you.
Okay. Or you can call the station, and we'll have some information at the front desk after the show.
Oh, great.
I'm just curious, as you have managed to attract a great number of performers. How did you manage to do that?
Well, my daughter has been... a student at Portland State, just graduated last year, and she was the treasurer of the Pacific Islanders Club.
That might help.
Yeah, so we had a connection there. And one of the things that's really nice about it is that we're having the program in the Native American Students Center, and Pacific Islanders are considered tribal peoples. And because they are considered tribal peoples, we are being allowed to use the Native American Students Center because the Pacific Islanders are one of our sponsors. So, and that is the group actually that my daughter has come to identify with. She picked that up when she was in junior high. She had a friend who was half white and half Japanese. And who had connections to Hawaii, and they began doing hula at that time.
Okay.
And she's continued that, and that really is the identity that she has found, which is really important for these children, is to figure out what their identity is, because otherwise they get kind of lost and head off in directions you don't want them headed into.
Okay.
So identity is one of the things we really want to help educate these children about.
Multiracialfamilycenter.org.
Yes.
I got it right?
Yes.
Okay. That's actually kind of easy to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what kind of services right now do you have available? Let's say, there's probably somebody listening right now who is interested in who might be having conflicts in their own family.
Right.
So what do you have to offer right now?
Well, what we have to offer right now is a meeting where people can come together and share their interests and concerns.
How many people do you have in these meetings? How large is your group?
We're a non-member organization, but we have non-member legally speaking. But we have people who, we just had a pizza party about 2 weeks ago, and there were approximately 10 people there. So, like I said, we're new, and we're just starting, but one of the reasons we're here is we want to get the word out to let people know that we are gathering together.
We have a board of, I think, what is it, eight people?
Seven.
Seven people. But I think the biggest thing that we offer right now is just a group of like-minded people who, between us, like you were asking about how did we find so many performers, everybody has interest, has connections to different educational and cultural organizations. And between us, we have a lot of resources. On our website, you'll find that there are a lot of just links for things that are going on in the area, organizations you can get involved in. But it's just like-minded people and people who want to see this community come together and see this education program really take off, and who can help you out and have been through, especially for families who are young and are just adopting for the first time. We have some folks who are experienced, you know, have grown children who have, like Sarah was saying, her daughter is 23 now?
25.
25 now.
And next month she'll be 25.
So, yeah, I think one of the biggest things we offer is just some kind of hope, some place to go where you can find like-minded people and some resources that might be helpful.
We're hoping to do some mentoring where families that have had more experience in this area will become mentors for families that have not had a lot of experience in this area, so that people don't have to go through this by themselves like I did when my daughter was growing up.
Good, very good. MultiracialFamilyCenter.org.
Yes.
Okay. And you also have a newsletter that you get.
We do.
Send out over email. And so how can you get on that email list?
They can email me at sarahsheets@aol.com and tell me they want to be on the list, and I will put them on.
Okay. And that contact information is on the website?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm just thinking that there are probably people who are interested, so I'm making sure that we'll make that connection here.
Okay.
Yeah, the more we talk to people, the more I'm finding people every day that are, oh, I have a friend that would be interested, or, yeah. So there are a lot of folks out there.
Well, quite honestly, I have some friends mm-hmm. that would probably be interested.
Right, if they knew.
You know, I know people who have dealt with some of these issues, and I think they're dealing with them on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's hard to do on your own. It is nice to have somebody to talk to who can say to you, oh, yeah, I remember that, and this is how I dealt with it. So that you can have, it's not all new to you.
Right. And because I have no firsthand experience, as
right.
an example. And if somebody comes to me, you know, wants to talk, looking for help, all I can do is give a hypothetical.
Right.
You know, and, you know, well, hypothetical responses aren't always that great or,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about what we are trying to develop as our education program.
Very good. We have a few more minutes.
Okay. We really want to teach our children how to manage situations in which they are expected to be only part of a monoracial family, so that they can stand up for themselves and say, I am part of a multiracial family, and explain what that is. We also want them to help them contemplate the question, who am I and where do I belong, which is an important question for all people, but is especially challenging for children who are in multiracial families. We want to teach the children and the families the social traditions and the histories of their many varied cultures. And we want to teach them the skills that they need to learn to deal with prejudice, which is hard for those of us who are white to know how to deal with.
White privilege.
Right.
Is one of the things that you and I have to deal with.
That's right.
And be aware of.
That's
it's not
right.
always easy.
That's right. It doesn't, you don't, just because you have become multiracial doesn't mean that you suddenly know what it is to be discriminated against. That's something you have to learn about. And you need to go to the experts who are people of color to learn about that.
And that's something, yeah, that that I think the center will be greatly helpful for. I also, Jim, have no firsthand experience with that, but I can't imagine growing up, you know, as a white kid, middle class, having a child who is being discriminated against. I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know how to help them.
I can tell you it's very painful to see that happen and not really know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. The MultiracialFamilyCenter.org. There we go. And this Friday's event at Dance Around the World. And see, one more time, what was the location?
It's at the Native American Student Center at 701 Southwest Jackson. The cross street is Market. The cross street is Broadway.
Broadway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's free parking at the PSU parking structure,
yes,
after 5:30.
After 5:30 off of 6th and Hall. And it starts at 7 o'clock.
Starts at 7.
Yes.
Starts at 7, mm-hmm, and runs till about...
About 9?
Yeah. Okay, about 2 hours.
And it's a great event for families, especially if you have small kids. It's a really family-friendly event. It'll be a lot of fun. There'll be some light refreshments. But it should be... We're really excited about it. It's something we've been working on a long time, and it should be a lot of fun.
Looks like an event. I will probably be there.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, you didn't know that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I'll probably be there, because my wife doesn't know about this.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't know about it yet, but she's going to want to go.
Oh, it's going to be a wonderful event. There are 10 cultures represented.
And they do tinningling.
Yes.
That's one of the most spectacular, fun dances.
It is a very fun dance.
Describe it real quick.
Actually, tinningling, it is representative of the tinningling bird, which is a bird that they sometimes set bamboo traps for in the Philippines in the rice paddies. But with the dance, they use bamboo poles with people dancing in between the poles and as a means of showing how the tinningling bird escapes the traps. And it is very much a fun dance.
Right, because the dance is actually performed. You have four people with the sticks.
Yes.
And they'll move the sticks rhythmically in and out, and then you dance...
Between the bamboo sticks.
Between the bamboo sticks.
Right. Without getting caught.
What happens if you do get caught?
You're in trouble.
I guess. I guess. You don't want to do that.
No.
Okay. It's... Okay, it's 29 minutes after the hour, and there is... And that's about it for our time. I sure thank you, Sarah and Carla, for coming and sharing all of this with us.
Well, thank you.
And do you have any last words other than it's multiracialfamilycenter.org?
That's right.
Dance Around the World Friday night. It's going to be fun. Be there.
Come and see us. We'll have light refreshments, and you will really enjoy yourself.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
There were no red-headed Irishmen before the Vikings landed in Ireland. How many Romans had dark curly hair before they brought slaves from Africa? No race on earth is completely pure, nor is anyone's mind, and that's for sure. The wind makes the dust of every land, and so will woman and man. I think that this whole world, soon, mama, my whole wide world, soon, mama, my this doesn't mean we must all be the same. We'll have different faces and different names. Long live many different kinds of races and difference of opinion that makes horse races. Just remember the rule about rules, brother. What's right with one is wrong with another. And take a tip from La Belle France. Vive la France. I think that this whole world.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from St. John's Books, North Portland's full-service independent bookstore, offering new and used books on progressive politics, literature, poetry, titles for kids, and more. St. John's Books is located at 8622 North Lombard in St. John's. Information at 503-283-0032 or via email at info@stjohnsbooks.com. Stay tuned for Stage and Studio. This is KABU 90.7 FM.